Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. There's a war going on, a war for the soul of America. They're acting as though there was no election. Low-life vermin like Schumer and his cohort, Bill Kristol. I hardly can say the name without puking. Billy Kristol would make a better spokesman for politics than Bill Kristol. Bill Kristol said that, you know who he is? He's a schmuck whose father gave him the money to start a magazine called the Meekly Standard. He actually said he backs the deep state over President Trump. I swear to God, I'm not making this stuff up. Bill Kristol, a loser like this, a New York East Side loser, says obviously strongly prefer normal democratic and constitutional politics, but if it comes to it, prefer the deep state to the Trump state. What is the deep state? It's a jargon word for the army of bureaucrats, retired officials, legislators, contractors, media types, who support and defend, in essence, the old world order, Barack Obama's world order. Now, Flynn was a scapegoat. Flynn is a great man. Flynn is a great man, 82nd Airborne. I mean, a great man. Not an average soldier, a great soldier. And these low-life bums who never fired a BB gun have destroyed a great man. 82nd Airborne, Director of Intelligence for Special Ops from 04 to 07. It doesn't get any better than this man. I don't know if you remember who Flynn was. Obama himself nominated Mr. Flynn, General Flynn, to be the 18th director of the DIA. And he took command of the Defense Intelligence Agency in 2012. But he made one fatal error. He did one fatal thing that caused the snake, Barack Insane Obama, the snake fired him. And what was the mistake that General Flynn made? He became the lone voice inside the compromised Obama White House, saying that the United States was less safe from the threat of Islamic terrorism in 2014 than it was prior to the 9/11 attacks. And he was forced to retire. That's what happened. You see, he was one of the people, General Flynn, who happens to know for a fact that the Muslim Brotherhood has penetrated the CIA, the NSA, and so many avenues of the United States government that we are in grave risk, we're at grave risk in this country of losing our nation entirely. And for that reason, he was fired. And for that reason, now Flynn has been made into a bad man by low-life vermin like Charles Schumer. Look, I can say things about Schumer, not going to get me anywhere. I'll have to put this in context for you. Do you remember the man named Sandy Berger? You know who he was? He was a national security advisor. Remember him? From Bill Clinton. Remember what he did? He was known affectionately as Sox Berger. This low-life lout, this creature, a creature like Kristol, like Schumer, the same type. He went into the National Archives reading room before testifying before the 9/11 Commission and stole classified documents in 03 right out of the National Archives. He put them in his filthy underwear and his dirty, sweaty socks. He stole them. And what happened to Sandy Berger? Did Wolfie and Jakey and the types that you know to be the purveyors of fake news go crazy when Sandy Berger did that? No. Berger pled guilty to a misdemeanor charge of unauthorized removal and retention of classified material. But what about Susan Rice, the national security advisor under Barack Obama? You remember when she lied about Benghazi? While still UN ambassador, Susie Rice told TV talk shows that the deadly September assault on the U.S. consulate in Libya was a result of a YouTube video. Do you remember that one? What did the Wolfies and the Jakes and the NBCs and the CBSs do then? Did they attack Susan Rice? No. They never picked up the story, except for Fox News. And what happened as a result of that scandal? Nothing. She was appointed as Obama's national security advisor. Lying about Benghazi was a huge scandal. And old Upchuck Salami Schumer, Corned Beef Schumer, Katz's Deli Schumer, in my day a guy like Schumer, the most he could have been, was a pickle server in Katz's Delicatessen in Manhattan. And even that, would you trust the pickle? Would you take a pickle from him? Would you trust that when you say to him, I want a corned beef lean, that he'd actually give you lean meat? If Schumer were a deli man, and you went and you said, look, I have a heart condition, I'd like some corned beef, but I need you to cut the fat off the meat. And he says, sure, don't worry about it. The minute you blinked, he'd put extra fat into the sandwich. He's part of the old world order. Listen, I have such contempt for these people, you have no idea. I can barely contain myself. When I see great American men like Flynn destroyed by Lilliputians, I get very, very upset. And when I see rats and vermin like the type that worked for Obama get away with virtual murder because of people like Jake Tapper and Wolf Blitzer, who never called them out once, I get even more upset. In fact, my heart is thumping right now. I have tachycardia from my rage about what Susan Rice got away with. My rage about what Barry got away with because he was not a white Christian male war hero who flew out of airplanes in the 82nd Airborne and jumped into harm's way. He was one of them. Now we have another man who's going to become a national security advisor. Great man, special forces. And they're going after him already because he had the audacity to have been a boy who went to school in Iran when his father was assigned there in the U.S. military. Can you believe the danger we're in is far worse than you ever thought it was, actually? Journalist Seymour Hersh wrote that General Flynn confirmed to him that his agency had sent a constant stream of classified warnings about the dire consequences of toppling Syrian President Assad. Flynn said that his agency was producing intelligence reports indicating that radical Islamists were the main force in the Syrian insurgency and that Turkey was looking the other way when it came to the growth of the Islamic State inside Syria. According to General Flynn, these reports got enormous pushback from the Obama administration, who he felt did not want to hear the truth. Now, I'm explaining to you how deep this is. In an interview with Al Jazeera, General Flynn criticized the Obama administration for its delay in supporting the opposition in Syria, thereby allowing the growth of al-Nusra and other extremist forces. Flynn is a registered Democrat, by the way. He grew up in a very strong Democratic family. Did you know that? Flynn, General Flynn, had been a board member of Act for America and sees the Muslim faith as one of the root causes of Islamist terrorism. He described Islam as a political ideology and a cancer. He stated in a Twitter post that the fear of Muslims is rational and included a video link claiming that Islam wants 80% of people enslaved or exterminated. I guess he was punished for that by the Islamophiles inside the State Department. My friends, we're at war. Someone described a socialist as a communist without a gun. Someone told me, and he's a retired military veteran, highly decorated combat veteran, he said, a socialist is a communist without a gun. Michael Flynn is a scapegoat, contends me, Michael Savage, in the wake of the outspoken National Security Advisor's resignation. I said the old world order wants perennial friction with Russia. I said the demonization of Putin, Russia and Flynn are part of a campaign by neocons, the intel community, and Democrats who want constant antagonism with Russia. I said it's like firemen who start fires to justify their jobs. Now, Mr. Flynn, General Flynn, is a great man, and the Lilliputians who brought him down are less than great men. They're not even humans. He is about to be replaced by another great man, Vice Admiral Harwood, former deputy commander of U.S. CENTCOM, who has Navy SEAL combat experience. I'm sure that Charles Schumer will not approve of him, in that Charles Schumer, who would probably have to go see his therapist if a truck backfired outside his apartment in Brooklyn, is probably afraid of Navy SEALs. But he has accepted the offer. And he's committed a great crime, the new national security advisor, even though he served on SEAL teams in Iraq and Afghanistan. You see, he committed a crime. And the crime is that he grew up as a young man or a young boy in Iran when his father was assigned there. And that's a crime to be multicultural. Multiculturalism, you see, was not a crime when it was under Barry Obama. We were lectured, we were white racists for not being culturally sensitive. But now we have one who is quite culturally knowledgeable about Iran, and I guess that's not a good thing for Charlie Schumer. Nevertheless, that's a story. There's another story I don't think I even want to talk about. Melania, they say, now they're going after her. The rats in the media, the vermin, the lowest scum on the planet. Lori Italiano, one of the worst low-life vipers in the history of American tabloid reporting. A low-life is attacking Melania Trump out of pure jealousy. Laura Italiano does not even speak English properly. And here she is attacking, in the New York Post, here she is attacking Melania, who speaks five languages, because she speaks English with a heavy accent from her native country. Can you believe how sick these women are? Can you realize how jealous these women are? So they're saying she doesn't want the job of First Lady, she didn't really want to give up her privacy, and that she hides out in the Trump Tower with her son. This is what they're doing now to Melania. And then they say, well, last weekend, she's been hiding inside the gilded cage of the family's lavish $100 million Trump Tower penthouse on Fifth Avenue, as though that's a crime. I guess those who pay rent in a walk-up flat that they can't even own are jealous of her. And so they try to rip her apart that way because she spends so much time with her child. I guess she's not out partying enough like a drunken slut for the vermin at the New York Post. So now we have that going on in front of our eyes. This is what they're doing. Now they're going after the First Lady and her son, the President's son. It's sickening. The whole thing is sickening. There's a war for our minds going on. It's a sickening war, by the way. Last weekend, the Japanese Prime Minister was here, Mr. Abe, and she came down to Mar-a-Lago, we're reading, and she did accompany him to Delray Beach, where there's a Japanese garden, which I've gone to many times. It's a fabulous botanical garden. Being an expert in botany, I've been there many times. It's a fabulous, fabulous garden. I'm glad to see they went there. I didn't even know that they would go to a place like that. I guess that could be seen as a negative as well. I suppose that the New York Post could say that by going to the Japanese garden with the president of Japan, she insulted all people who suffer from allergies at this time of the year. But it was very insensitive of Melania to go to a Japanese botanical garden while there were so many people suffering from sinus conditions in America. They were probably offended by her being seen around flowers. While she did entertain Aki Abe in Florida, smilingly posing for the requisite photo op at Murakami Museum and Japanese Gardens in nearby Delray Beach, it was a struggle. Don't let her smile in the photographs fool you, the source said. She hates this. Melania is unhappy with how her life ended up. She is miserable. This woman should be fired from the New York Post. She's always been a low-life vermin of the lowest kind. I've watched her articles over the years descend into total chaos and bitchiness. This is the lowest I've ever seen. So now they're going after the First Lady. They're going after the child, going after the president, going after the generals. Where do you think this ends?
I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Trump had a press conference with Netanyahu. I thought it was a very interesting one. I mean, there's nothing really new there other than Netanyahu got caught short when Trump said to him, slow down on the settlements. And Netanyahu, you know, was caught off guard by that. That was good. I thought the best part of the joint press conference with Netanyahu, who has been prime minister, I think, for 50 years. How long has he been prime minister? Are there no term limits in Israel? I've been prime minister as long as I have a beard. I've never seen anything like this. Anyway, yeah, he's a great man, former war hero, by the way. Golani Brigade lost his brother in the attack on Entebbe to save innocent passengers from the vermin who were killing innocents off that airplane. Netanyahu was in that raid, and he lost his brother in the raid. He's a great man. He's a great man, terrific man. I mean, he'd been there forever, though. I don't understand Israeli politics, how he can be prime minister for so many years. But it was interesting, and I don't know if we have the soundbite. I'm, like, searching for it. I asked for it. It's probably in here somewhere. I have so many pages. The guys do such a big job. But in that press conference, Netanyahu said, "Why are Jews called Jews?" I never heard this one before. Robert, please play number 28.
Why are Jews called Jews? Well, the Chinese are called Chinese because they come from China. The Japanese are called Japanese because they come from Japan. Well, Jews are called Jews because they come from Judea. This is our ancestral homeland. Jews are not foreign colonialists in Judea. So, unfortunately, the Palestinians not only deny the past, they also poison the present.
Beautifully put. Beautifully put. You see, the anti-Semites would have you believe the Jews arrived there after World War II, not recognizing the Bible nor the ancient presence of Jews in the area. He then said something about radical Islamic terror in the press conference that is worth replaying on the Savage Nation. I want you to listen to 2-7 on the program.
Your forthright call to ensure that Israel is treated fairly in international forums and that the slander and boycotts of Israel are resisted mightily by the power and moral position of the United States of America. As you have said, our alliance is based on a deep bond of common values and common interests. And increasingly, those values and interests are under attack by one malevolent force, radical Islamic terror.
Amen. Amen. Something we haven't heard for years under Barry, the Islamophile. Now, having said that, I salute the visit of Netanyahu. I've got to tell you again, critically, I think it was not the right timing. You didn't hear me say that till now, but I'll say it again. I think Trump is moving far too fast and in international areas when he should be moving in domestic areas first. I think he's got to get his house in order now and focus on jobs, 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 infrastructure, infrastructure, roads, bridges, tunnels, factories. I want to see Americans working again. I want to see drug treatment in America. You know, you take a guy in Maine or in West Virginia who Donald Trump appealed to, who's working two jobs, or his wife's working two jobs, and he's working two jobs, and maybe one of his children is strung out on drugs, on meth, or whatever. He doesn't give a rat's behind about Israel. He doesn't care about General Flynn. He voted for Trump because he wanted to be helped by Trump. So you have Lilliputian corn beef eaters like Schumer spitting on a brave 82nd Airborne general like Flynn and destroying him. The very thing that was done to people by the Stasi in Eastern Europe is being done to great Americans by vermin like Schumer and his dirty friends inside the deep state. In my forthcoming book, Trump's War, I have a chapter entitled Trump's War Against the Deep State. Isn't that odd? That I have a whole chapter on it. And I certainly cannot read you a chapter from Trump's War. But I glanced through it before the show to see if there was anything relevant for my devoted listeners. And I found a lot in the book that I wrote about. And I'll make it very brief. Did Russia really hack the election, I ask, on one of the pages. And I proved that, well, you'll see what I prove. And then I go into the deep state in action. And I wrote that the American deep state is no different than most dictatorships. It doesn't brook resistance. And I wrote that couldn't have been made more clear than by the ominous warning from globalist operative, corned beef server, Senator Chuck Schumer, when he said, "You take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you." Remember what Schumer said? Now, I got to tell you something. I got to put it in a way that's show safe. How can I do it in that way? I can't. I'm too blunt. So I'll put it in another way. The Stasi were the secret police of the ex-Eastern Bloc Soviet appendages. They were ruthless. Is that the kind of world you want to live in, the one that Chuck Schumer is now glorifying? How is it that all of these, how shall I put it, cowards, the Bill Kristol cowards, the Schumer cowards, the anti-gun cowards, these people are terrified of their own shadow. If Bill Kristol walked down Fifth Avenue in Manhattan and a truck backfired, he would scream and duck for cover. And now these people want to live in the ex-Soviet Union with the Stasi running the government? Democrat apparatchiks like Schumer are using all the technology we have today and the methodology of the Stasi in Eastern Europe. We thought the Stasi were gone, but little did we know that Charles Schumer, of all people, would be using the tactics of the Stasi along with the neocon ventriloquists here in America. Let's never forget about let's never forget this. The 2016 intelligence agencies are still primarily composed of men and women appointed by Barry Obama. So this is really Obama attacking Trump with fake stories in an effort to undermine his presidency before he even took the oath of office. That went on then. And it's Obama who brought down Flynn. Of course, they had fellow travelers on the Republican side like McCain and his fellow neocon ventriloquists in the media who are still anti-Russia a quarter century after the Cold War has ended. They are still trying to start a war with Russia by any and all means. And they have the support of most of the globalist media who have mindlessly parroted the anti-Putin propaganda from Obama's inauguration to Trump's. The media has done far more damage invading the minds of Americans and others around the world than Putin did in invading Crimea. I have more to say about this, but if you like the words you just hear or you'd like to read more, you can only get it in my book, Trump's War Against the Deep State, inside the book, Trump's War, which will be out in a few weeks. It's available only now on Amazon.com and BNN.com. I'm telling you this because this WMD article that I wrote, calling Flynn a scapegoat, it's all in here. And what Obama and Hillary did was far worse. When was Obama ever called out by anyone in the media for anything he ever did? Instead, they brought down a hero, an 82nd Airborne American military hero, and little punk cowards like Bill Kristol and Chuck Schumer, men whose lives themselves are in safety as a result of heroes like Flynn. Cowardly Upper East Side vermin who would not have a second of safety were it not for cops like Flynn and soldiers like Flynn are now trying to stamp out all the Flynns of the world. Now, let me tell you what's coming next. President Trump wants to replace him with another general. Rock hard, special forces, paratrooper. Do you know what the vermin in the media are doing already? Do you know what the salami munchers are doing already? Do you know what the Jakes and the Wolfs and the Bobbies are doing already? They're saying that the man, and I say man, that President Trump wants to replace General Flynn with, has committed a grave, grave crime. He lived in Iran as a young student with his parents when his father was in the military. He speaks Farsi. He went to school when the Shah was the leader of Iran. They're trying to show that as a deficit. I want you to see how insane the Schumers of the world are. I want you to see how insane the media types are. These are the same rats who lecture us every day about multiculturalism. These are the same vermin who tell us that we are all one, we all live in one world, we all should be sensitive to other cultures. These are the same vermin who lecture us every day about being racist or ethnocentric. So now you have a general coming in who lived in Iran, who speaks Farsi, who knows the Iranian culture before it was dominated by the Islamo-fascist throwbacks, and they're trying to turn that into a deficit. This is what you get when you have deranged psychotics putting out not fake news, but insane news. There is a war going on, a real war. It's a civil war right now. If they keep this up, it's going to get much worse. It'll come down to something much worse than you can imagine. Now, you could say the man behind all of this is this one or that one. It's way beyond a single man behind it all. I want you to listen to this. Here is General Flynn attacking Obama. This is why he got fired. Remember it was Obama who said that Al-Qaeda is on the run. It's a JV team. Do you remember that? Flynn was the only one who stood up to him. Listen to 03.
The president was 100% wrong. If you do not clearly define the enemy that you're going to face, you cannot figure out the best way to defeat that enemy. We are facing radical Islamists, and frankly, this is a war on reality, and the president and his close advisors need to get real. They are obviously not under enough pressure. They are not JVs. They just demonstrated that again. And they will absolutely attack again in places like London, in places like Berlin, in places like New York, in places like Washington, D.C. They're very, very well organized. This is the problem of letting the world go to hell and assuming it won't come back to bite you in the rear end.
That's General Michael Flynn, a giant of a man, an 82nd Airborne paratrooper of the highest type, ripped to pieces by low-life corn beef munchers like Schumer and his sneaky rat buddies inside the deep state. Listen to what Flynn said back in November of 2015. This is the man that the corn beef and pickle munchers just destroyed, 04.
Frankly, our amateurist foreign policy has its own place of responsibility in the mayhem that we are seeing right now. The president to stand there and say that our strategy is working against this vicious, vile enemy is absurd. It's absolutely absurd. And I'm stunned at his press conference today and the way he characterized this brutal attack, this brutal 9/11 style attack in Paris as a setback.
They never forgave him for it. The phony baloney, Barry Obama, never forgave Flynn for calling him out. Flynn is the only one who had the guts to call out Obama for what he was. And Obama the snake has his hands, his dirty fingernails are all over this. Listen to this one now in 05. Here is the man just destroyed by the corned beef and pickle munchers in 05.
This White House has a terrible track record of sending senior members of its administration out on the Sunday talk show circuit to try to you know, baloney or you know, talk above the United States American public. I mean, this is just unbelievable. And there's three examples of this where Susan Rice came out on Benghazi, Ben Rhodes came out on the Iranian nuclear deal. Now Attorney General Lynch has come out on this particular issue. I mean, you know, the American people are smarter than that.
Now you understand who undermined him. Who torpedoed this great American serviceman? My friends, I don't think you understand what I'm saying to you. Some of you do and some of you don't. Do you have any idea how penetrated this government is with Islamists? Or Islamophiles, if you want to put it in that regard. Let's say you don't take me on my word that you say Islamists have deeply penetrated many avenues of government. I can prove it to you by who's doing the training. These are hardcore Muslim fanatics who have gelded our police departments, who have gelded our military, who have tried to deball the entire masculine establishment that knows who the hell they are. And they just destroyed General Flynn with a little help from their neocon ventriloquist friends and their Democrat buddies. Now let's get to the bigger issue of Russia for a minute. Opening a dialogue with Russia is a bad thing? Opening a constructive dialogue with Russia is a bad thing? Can anyone explain to me why that's a bad thing? You're now falling for the massive disinformation put into your head after Clinton set it out as the truth? Let's say Putin's a bad guy. Let's say Putin is a dictator. Let's say Putin did terrible things to some of his own people. He does control a major nuclear arsenal and a major military. Do you want war with them? All of you neocon ventriloquists, you want war with Russia now? Didn't Ronald Reagan show us the benefits of talking straight with the Soviet Union backed by strength? How is it this effort to delegitimize Trump's authority by the Democrats, by taking down great men like General Flynn, how is it that you don't know it comes straight out of the Soviet playbook? My friend again, the army friend that I have, said the Russian terms that apply here are desinformatsiya and maskirovka, disinformation and deception. Pardon me for the bad transliteration. Desinformatsiya and maskirovka, disinformation and deception. He says that Obama should know these tactics very well. Alinsky adopted them both as part of his strategy to divide and control. Flynn was the first, and now there's blood in the water. Who will be next? And so, ladies and gentlemen of the Savage Nation, again, I focus you to Trump's war against the deep state within Trump's war, the book. I'm going to read you one last paragraph. The media has done far more damage invading the minds of Americans and others around the world than Putin did in invading Crimea. It's been an all-out assault on the mind space of millions by CNN, ABC, CBS, and NBC. And I write, this story is by no means over. The globalists will keep it alive as a sword of Damocles over Trump's head for his entire administration. Whenever Trump tries to improve relations with Russia, they will accuse him of appeasing the dictator who planted him in the White House, I wrote. We're going to have to be vigilant in supporting Trump and reminding people of the truth. Even if the Russians did hack the DNC, all they leaked was the truth. No one is accusing the Russians of hacking the voting machines. The report expressly says they did not. The most the Russians are guilty of is what Edward Snowden is guilty of, providing America proof of the lies, corruption, and evil of the globalist elites. These are prophetic words. They're on pages 241 and 242 of my last political book, Trump's War. It is my last political book. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. There's a great article by me on WND that was on a Drudge Report for 12 hours where I say Michael Savage says Flynn is a scapegoat. And I will read from it because it's a great article. Listen to some of the key words that I come up with here. I'm not going to make it long. I'm going to make it short. And you'll see my position. I'm going to ask you if you agree with my position that Flynn was a scapegoat or you disagree with my position that Flynn was a scapegoat. Michael Flynn is a scapegoat, I said. The old world order wants perennial friction with Russia. Flynn resigned late Monday after reports he had given VP Pence incomplete information about his discussions in late December with the Russian ambassador to the U.S. regarding sanctions. Pence, based on information from Flynn, had told media Flynn did not discuss sanctions with the ambassador, Sergei I. Kislyak. Savage noted that President O was caught on a hot mic. Listen carefully, boys and girls. President O was caught on a hot mic telling outgoing Russian President Dmitry Medvedev that Vladimir Putin should give him more space because Obama would have, quote, more flexibility to work with Russia after his re-election in 2012. Savage asked, was there an outcry by the Lilliputians in the media then? Of course not. Jake just took one of his anti-anxiety pills and looked the other way. Savage went on and he said, I see the demonization of Putin, Russia, and Flynn as part of a campaign by neocons, the intel community, and the Democrats who want constant antagonism with Russia. It's like firemen who start fires to justify their jobs and pensions, said Savage. Did you hear what I just said? It's like firemen who start fires to justify their jobs. Now, that's the beginning of the show today. There's a lot more. There's a lot more I have to get to about this story, and I will get to it, but there's so many pieces of the puzzle. And I know most of you are focused on jobs and your daily lives. This is another issue I want to talk about, which is that Trump needs to focus on domestic issues first. For some reason, he's focusing on huge international issues first instead of on domestic issues first. He has something wrong with this picture. Some of his closest advisors are misleading them. They think that they're all Metternichs. I really think he ought to focus on jobs for people in the affected communities. Guys who are working two and three jobs, women who are working two and three jobs, whose daughters are strung out on drugs. That's what Trump ought to be working on right now. And I think that that's what he needs to focus on right now. And if I get any time with Donald Trump, and I hope I do, that's all I'm going to say to him. We'll be right back.
Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
What about the Yemen operation? Received an email from a special ops man over the weekend saying Yemen operation may have been compromised by Muslims and U.S. government. Yeah, right. No kidding. Word last week in special ops community, Yemen raid may have been tipped to the enemy in advance by a number of Obama appointee Muslim sympathizing worms in the State Department, some of whom were blown out between Trump's inauguration and Tillerson's confirmation as Secretary of State. But others remain. Trying to find them will be like trying to count the cockroaches hiding in the walls. But the work has begun. And then I got arrested in the mail. I can't read it because it gives away some details, but it says, when I was in grad school at Georgetown in the very early 70s, I became aware of a strata of Arabist elites at State. They were anti-Zionist, pro-Arab, arrogant. These were a collection of senior FSOs and other officers whose careers had focused on postings to the various Middle Eastern nations in the days before Great Unrest. With few exceptions, all of these moles were grads of the Yale, Princeton, Georgetown, Middlebury system. They had been up close to immense Arab wealth and unbelievable lifestyles. It must have been a curious crossover of upper-level American snotty privilege, Swiss bank-level wealth, Oxford Don and Paris fashion, all those things that exposure to limitless sandbox banded family wealth could buy. While U.S. law forbade being bribed outright, I'm sure many of these perks these people enjoyed while on their foreign postings were worth a lot more than their supposedly meager U.S. government salaries. In those days, that strata of people at State were just plain Democrats. Today, they're a combination of socialists and demies. An odd mix, but definitely no friend of Western culture as we grew up with. Now listen how my friend ends his email. You're not going to believe this. As an example, he writes, on being introduced to the doyen of one of the senior state families at a D.C. reception years ago, I was regarded with hooded eyes by this silver-haired, chain-smoking woman who said, yours is an Italian name. Your people do such wonderful things with shrubbery. And this is from a many, many, many highly decorated army guy whose father was also a highly decorated man in the army. And that's what they said to him. He said, the best definition I've seen lately is this. A socialist is a communist without a gun for the moment. I made a grave error. I set out to go to a German restaurant in San Francisco for a polka dance. I haven't been for years. I don't know why. I was walking past it and it said polka music. I made a note in my calendar. So like a schmendrick, I forgot that there was something else going on in the city exactly that time. So I get in the car, I go over the Golden Gate Bridge, doing fine, going down Lombard, doing fun in Van Ness. All of a sudden, I can't get anywhere near the area. You know why? It was the Chinese New Year's parade. Every cross street in the city was jammed. There were fireworks and smoke. I could not believe what I did to myself. In my entire life, I've never made such a... I mean, I'm pretty good at... It was awful. Took me an hour to go cross town. That's that. What a beautiful culture the Chinese culture is when you watch it. This is the largest Chinese community outside of China. It is something to watch as a non-Chinese person to see the depth of the culture and how deep the civilization is and what an addition they have made to this society of ours. What a great people they are. How they came here and did so much to build this nation, giving us so much in the way of cuisine, which we all know about. And I'm not talking about dim sum. I'm not talking about chop suey. Chinese culture is tremendous. What a great influence it has been in America. If only all immigrant groups were the same as the Chinese. See, not all immigrant groups are the same. Some come here to build a life. Some come here to destroy a life. Some come here to build tunnels and bridges and buildings. Some come here to blow up buildings and tunnels and bridges. But you see, you didn't learn that on CNN. The Wolfs and the Jakes apparently have a blind eye to the differentials of the world. Now, a few months ago, I told you what was going on in the White House. I said, Savage warns Trump on Priebus. Looks like Jeb Bush won. Remember that? And remember how I was attacked for it? Well, now Mr. Priebus is being kind of criticized. He's in trouble with Donald Trump. I said it first in November. I was ripped apart by you. Many of you didn't understand that I have a high mast. I sit up atop the highest mast in the media. I can see farther than anyone. I'm Linkaeus, the pilot seer of the Savage Nation. Now he's in trouble. He seems like a nice guy, but out of his league. Now, what about General Flynn? We keep hearing from the vermin liars in the media, the Jakes and the Wolfs and the Jakes. How come they've all found their testosterone? You know that Anderson Cooper even sounded like a man today? Do you know that Jake Tapper almost sounded like an adolescent getting his voice today? After years of sitting like a little pipsqueak bootlicker while Obama destroyed everything he touched, all of a sudden Jake Tapper sounded like he was coming into adolescence on air today. I actually heard a bit of a man's voice. And ripping and screaming and yelling was old Jake. Now they're telling you that General Flynn has to go. They're saying that General Flynn of DHS has to go. Why? What did General Flynn do, according to the fake news media? Well, according to the fake news media, General Flynn has to be fired because he engaged in conversations with a Russian diplomat about U.S. sanctions. Is that right, Jake? Hey, Jake, how is this newsworthy and shocking, given that your boss, Obama's conversation with another Russian diplomat, telling him he'd be more flexible after his reelection? Have you forgotten that, Jakey boy? Take your memory pill, Jake. Remember when your boss, Barack Obama, was heard saying to a Russian diplomat he'd be more flexible with Russia after his reelection, Jake? Did you forget your memory pill today? Again, selective prosecution by the demon rat socialist fake newsmakers and their Ministry of Truth. Here's a little bit of news. It's a little weird, this one. It's a little troubling because President Donald Trump reaffirmed Washington's longstanding so-called One China policy in a call with Beijing's strongman, a move that could ease anger in China over his earlier suggestions that he might use Taiwan as leverage in negotiations over trade, security, and other sensitive issues. Now, I want to remind you of something. I am not a consultant to Donald Trump. I'm not an advisor to Donald Trump. Remember I said he made a mistake by taking or making that call to Taiwan's leader? Do you remember it? Raise your hand if you remember. You remember how I was attacked by the Trump bots? How dare you criticize the new president? He's hardly started yet. I said it was a gaffe. You made a big mistake by embarrassing China in public. Now he's turned 180. Now he's turned 180, and here we go, and he's into the One China policy. The long-awaited call between Chinese President Xi Jinping and Trump came Thursday evening, and Trump agreed to honor the One China policy, the White House said. Now, I want to ask you something. What did we get out of that call? Tell me what we got out of it. I don't know what we got out of it. What did we get out of the deal? I mean, he talked tough during the campaign. I understand that. We heard everything about China. They're smart. They out-traded us. Now, Rex Tillerson is the new Secretary of State, right? Okay. And who's Rex Tillerson? Oil. So, now you know the answer. That's the rest of the story. Trump has also said to discuss the One China policy with Secretary of State Rex Tillerson in recent days. According to personal knowledge and discussions, Trump and Tillerson had dinner Thursday shortly before the president's call to Xi. They were joined at the White House dinner by Republican mega donor Sheldon Adelson. Oh, my goodness. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. Money talks and BS walks. We've heard that since we're children. Money talks and BS walks. It's that simple. You pay as you go in this world, whether it's at the highest level or the lowest level. Whether you're in the gutter or in the White House, you pay as you go. It's as simple as that. But remember, I'm an outsider looking in. And as a result of my outspokenness, I've made a lot of friends and an awful lot of non-friends. In some cases, made some enemies. Quite a few, unfortunately. I wish I didn't. But that's the nature of speaking your mind. And I knew he made a mistake by taking that call from Taiwan. Big mistake. It was a public embarrassment of China. And I said, you don't kick China in the guts and expect them to just take it lying down. They wouldn't take it down. Thank God someone corrected him. That's all. Now, the question is this good or bad for Taiwan? And what's the long game here? Are they going to now gobble up Taiwan and say it's a renegade province, which they've been saying for since forever, since the Chinese Communist Revolution? I hope not. Are we going to stand with Taiwan if China tries to invade Taiwan? Oh, my God. I mean, this is a huge issue. Where is this going? China gobbled up Hong Kong, didn't it? Without a word. China's running the Panama Canal. Remember that under Bill Clinton? Okay, China runs the Panama Canal under Bill Clinton. China takes back Hong Kong, blah, blah, blah. Now they still have one last big one to go, and that's Taiwan, renegade province. The Taiwanese are not the same as the mainland Chinese. Ethnically, maybe yes, in some ways. Direct ethnic connections. Culturally, absolutely. But economically, no. Now, as China has become more and more capitalistic, there is more in common between mainland China and Taiwan than may meet the eye. Taiwan used to be a stalwart capitalist nation, and they boomed while China was stuck in the rickshaw age. But then China became a monster once they released themselves from the communist ideology. And there are many business relationships right now between Taiwan and mainland China. So let's hope, as Americans looking in, that this does not lead to war. And that, my friends, is my appeal to you. Frenchman blames Uber for breaking up marriage after glitch let wife follow his every move. Okay, nice. Very nice. Then I look on the bottom of the article, and I see that in June of 2015, Uber launched a food delivery service in London. Maybe Uber Connects launch a drug delivery service? You know, get your meth here. Deliver coke, meth, heroin. Why not? This is free society. It's capitalism. Apple's Tim Cook tells Theresa May he is very optimistic about post-Brexit UK at Downing Street meeting. That means they'll get away with paying no taxes again. Theresa May, a real doll. Who is this Tim Cook? It's like the Kellyanne Conway of the tech industry. Everywhere I turn, there's Tim Cook. Smiling, coming out with his fingers up like he just flew a Spitfire in the Battle of London. The Battle of Britain. What, he conned her now? Apple's Tim Cook tells Theresa May he's very optimistic about post-Brexit UK at Downing Street meeting. Oh, he is? He's very optimistic about Apple's going to pay its fair share? See, here's where I believe Bernie Sanders has a message that's worth listening to. You talk about fair share. Don't aim it at me, Bernie. Don't aim it at the hardworking Americans like me who are taxed to death. Aim it at Tim Cook. Aim it at Zuckerberg. Aim it at Microsoft. Aim it at all of these huge companies that don't receive their money in America. They receive it in Europe. They pay no U.S. taxes to speak of. And you're telling me fair share. Why doesn't anyone take them on? Why? I'll give you an answer why. Who was seen in the Trump Tower 2 months ago? The whole tech industry was there. They hated Trump. They opposed Trump. They tried to stop Trump. They were for Hillary. Then they were in Trump Tower. They came out smiling. Have you seen anyone say they're going to tax them? No. Hello? You haven't heard anything about taxing those who are sending their money overseas, have you? It's a whole thing is a scam from top to bottom, Bernie.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Mad female pilot removed from plane after deranged rant. Did you hear that one? You have to dig into the whole story to find that it was a woman. It doesn't mean women can't fly, but this one can't fly. A United Airlines pilot was removed from a plane before a flight from Austin to San Francisco Saturday night after going on a rant over the intercom system. Can you imagine if you were sitting there and a pilot who shows up late to her flight wearing street clothes, not even a pilot's uniform, gets over onto the intercom and starts talking about her divorce and the presidential election? So the crazed woman pilot says, "Hey, sorry I'm late. The reason I'm late is I'm going through a divorce," she said. Well, then some of the passengers who were not either drunk or stoned or both became uncomfortable. They questioned her ability to fly the plane. I'm sure they were seen as sexist. Passengers said the pilot seemed friendly at first, but things took an awkward turn when the pilot pointed out an interracial couple sitting in first class. It quickly turned from playful to scary. She then went on and on about an Oprah show that she would be on. And then she commented on the 2016 presidential election. She said, "Listen, I don't care if you voted for Trump or Clinton. They're both a-holes," she said. This is a pilot of a United plane. Her hair deranged, wearing street clothing. Then, wait, it gets better. Hold on now. Don't turn the dial. She said she would let her co-pilot fly the plane because he is a man. And she told passengers they could disembark if they didn't feel safe. She said, so I'll stop and we'll fly the plane. Don't worry, I'm going to let my co-pilot fly it. He's a man, she laughed. Okay, if you don't feel safe, then get off the airplane, but otherwise we can go. I wouldn't have stayed on that plane, would you? Now, some PC people would have stayed on the plane if she was in, let's say, a hijab with a suicide pack attached to her chest. To show their solidarity for Muslims, they would have stayed on the plane. But she was not a Muslim. No, she was pure Americana. Pilot was removed from the flight, and a new pilot and crew took her place. United Flight 455 was delayed for more than 2 hours before the plane took off from Austin. Yeah, like that. This is the Savage Nation. We got snowstorms on the east. We got the Oroville Dam on the west. We got a mad female pilot removed from a plane. We got Savage warning Trump on Priebus back in November. We got Michael Savage's description of General Flynn as having done nothing. It's a tempest in a teapot. This is the Teapot Dome scandal knot. What about the Yemen operation? Received an email from a special ops man over the weekend saying Yemen operation may have been compromised by Muslims and U.S. government. Yeah, right. No kidding. I think I'm going to raise some money to change the plaque on the Statue of Liberty from the 1903 statement by Emma Lazarus, give us your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses yearning to be free, to give us your tired, your poor, and your huddling masses yearning to take a free ride, Michael Savage. Because, you see, there was no welfare state, Jake, in those days. You may not know this, Jake. I know you didn't study history in college. But the reason the masses were coming over was because they were coming here because the factories were dying for workers. They didn't come here for a free ride, Jakey. So you see, it's a little different now. Now, right now, you should know this. Trump's War, my new book, which will be out in a few weeks, is making history before publication. You see, as the chief architect of the Trump Revolution, I have much to say about his recent executive actions. Progs and sneering superior liberals, just remember this. There are those in right-wing intelligentsia communities who are just as well-read and well-versed in history, as are you, if not better-versed in history, as are you. Pay close attention to what you are about to hear today. It will continue to shape Trump's war for the months and years ahead. And I will show how we went from the melting pot to the chamber pot in just one generation. It's all in Trump's War, now available on Amazon.com and BNN.com. You know what I came to today? It's a terrible reality. And at the risk of your displeasure, I must tell you, you know how much we hated Obama for the 8 years. We knew he was a total fraud. We knew he was an evil man who destroyed everything he touched. We knew he was a lifetime Machiavellian monster who used his position of power just to advance his own power, him and his wife. And we knew he did everything he could to destroy the military and every institution of value in the country. We knew that about him. Now we have Trump, one misstep after another, surrounded by amateurs instead of bringing in seasoned veterans. You can blame the Democrats and liberals all you want. And you ask yourself, is it the country itself that cannot produce a great man as a leader? I never thought Trump was a great man, did you? I never presented him as a great man. But where is there a great leader? Where are they? I don't think America can do it anymore. I think that there is... Where is the greatness left in America? Where has it gone? That's a great question. Can this country still produce a great leader? That's all I want to know, because I don't think so. Maybe they're not in politics. We have some sound bites for you, and I guess the most fun would be none other than Nancy Pelosi. And again, we are continuing our GoFundMe site to raise funds for a neurological treatment, early intervention for Nancy Pelosi, who thinks that George Bush is in the White House. You must listen to clip number two.
We've seen nothing that we can work that I can work with President Bush on, and I'm disappointed because I thought that there might be some interest because of what he said in the campaign, which turns out to be not true, a hoax, and really dangerous to the economic stability of America's working families.
Now, she is enunciating more clearly. They've given her enunciation lessons. I heard that. They've taken her in a back room. They've told her to stop sucking on the hard candy, stop salivating while speaking. And please, Nancy, this is really truthfully the compassionate side of me. I have to tell you, I have great compassion for people who are ill. It's time to step down, dear. When you confuse President Trump in a diatribe and call him President Bush, I mean, people do hear these things, Nancy. It's embarrassing. You didn't even catch yourself. Well, how could you catch yourself when you were surrounded by the genius, Maxine Waters, who said that Russia is invading Korea? This is the Savage Nation. Well, no, I'm going to take another Millie break in my head. This is Michael Savage saying, have a nice day. Good night and good luck. Hi, I'm back on the Savage Nation. I've taken my pause to give my heart a rest. It's good to be back with you. I guess we should play Maxine Waters, another genius deserving of perhaps a, I think, a Nobel Prize, going on a diatribe against Trump and Putin, saying that we have to stop Putin while he's continuing to advance into Korea. I didn't say Crimea. He's advancing. I didn't say Ukraine. He's advancing into Korea. Now, I don't know. Maybe I'm behind on my military history. The last I checked, I didn't see any satellite photos of Russian troops invading Korea. I don't know. Maybe Maxine Waters has some secret photo devices in her brain where she can see Russian troops invading Korea. But this is an example of my great statement, liberalism is a mental disorder. Now, what do you do if half of the politicians in America are suffering from a mental disease? And they go up and give speeches exhibiting the mental disease, and the press dutifully reports on them because they're also mentally diseased. You know, Trump had it half right. He called it fake news. He's not right. It's not fake news. It's being reported as true by people who themselves are deranged. They don't know it's fake news. They're mentally ill. We know American civilization is in ruin and collapse because of the pornographers and the left-wing fanatics. We know we need a strong man to clean the country up. We know we need almost, things to happen that you're not going to like very much. We know that the actions, for example, in the Philippines, by the leader of the Philippines, where he's killing drug dealers, well, a lot of people wouldn't be too unhappy with that here. But then I'm sure the young girls would march outside NYU saying something about human rights for drug dealers. I don't know what. Then the pornographers, you're telling me they're not a bigger poison than heroin or fentanyl? Pornography is a bigger poison than fentanyl. It's destroyed more lives, more families than fentanyl and heroin put together. It's almost an incurable disease. It was all caused by Larry Flint. You could say Larry Flint destroyed America if you wanted to go back that far, but I don't want to go that far. People don't know who he is with that fake Supreme Court case. Shows you how important the Supreme Court is. Okay, so the question is, can you save this civilization, or is it on the inevitable slide to doom and ruination? Now, how much further can it go than it is right now? What has to happen next for you to realize that this civilization is near over, the one we call our American civilization? You could call it the American culture if you want. I would say the American civilization because it's a different type of civilization than others that have existed before it. You have the opposition right now so activated by George Soros and other evildoers that only the most strident reaction will stop it. I'll pause right there because we're not ready for the rest today. We'll keep it very simple. Make it very simple. Look, as I wrote, it takes time to destroy a civilization. And like ancient Rome, it typically occurs from within. I wrote, even the worst activists have to learn their behavior from somewhere. There is no leftist activist gene, unless one believes babies are born stupid and suicidal. Miserable ideas have to be taught. And the original teacher of leftist activism happens to have been an Italian communist known as Antonio Gramsci. You probably heard about him. Gramsci's legacy is his theory of cultural hegemony. Gramsci posited that the key to capturing a society was by taking over its cultural institutions. Winning political elections was not enough. He said that the key to capturing a society was by taking over its cultural institutions. Enter Harvey Weinstein. During World War II, Hollywood was patriotic. Jimmy Stewart was a war hero. American movies accurately portrayed America as the good guys. Cartoons like Der Führer's Face, featuring Donald Duck, mocked Adolf Hitler. Now Hollywood is run by ardent, psychotic, progressive liberals. The few pro-America movies out there have to be privately financed to get made. Look at television. I talked about this yesterday. And I go down the list. In addition to the entertainment industry, liberals have seized control of the schools. Look at the president of the American Federation of Teachers. Look at the molestation of the minds of our children and how the molesters of the minds of our children are given protection by the teachers' unions. You try firing a bad public school teacher in New York City. See how far you get. The unions give millions of dollars to liberal Democrats, socialists, in exchange for lifetime protection for all involved. Teachers are free to indoctrinate students without any fear of interference from parents. Huckleberry Finn gets removed from classrooms, while Heather Has Two Mommies replaces it. What about music? Music is the domain of the left, talking about the takeover of our culture. Rappers sing songs about murdering police. Then young people march in the streets chanting for more dead officers. When the inevitable happens, the left expresses shock that their calls for violence lead to violence. The internet is supposed to be free and open for people to seek information as they see fit. Now try looking something up. You Google it. Google is run by hardcore fanatical leftists. So are YouTube and Facebook. You know what I'm talking about or not? We're talking about the takeover of the culture by the radical left.
Don't Facebook stress over
Mark Zuckerberg is another one who shuts down pages on his site that are critical of Islam. Yet pages dedicated to finishing off the Jews are allowed to stay up. Zuckerberg is a Jewish indoctrinated millennial who now uses his multi-billion dollar empire to indoctrinate the next generation of young leftists in training. Our schools, libraries, movies, television, music, and social media are all used to advance a politically insane anti-American agenda. Meanwhile, Islamists use all of these tools to advance teachings of their own physical and moral superiority. When we Americans finally flex our muscles, our cultural institutions make sure we are derided as imperialist, ethnocentric bigots. When Islamists spew rhetoric that is actually imperialist, ethnocentric bigotry, our cultural institutions tell us to be hyper-tolerant in the name of diversity and multiculturalism. All of this can be found in some of my previous writings, but most especially in Trump's War. It'll be out in a few weeks. It is my last book. I've been asked to write another political book. I said, no, it's over. I'm not doing any more political books. The next one, if there is a next one, will be the God book. But I'm moving into another area anyway. I'm 100% in favor of dissent. I am a dissenter. You could even say I'm a disruptor. But I do it within the realms of the law. I don't break windows. I don't burn things. I don't beat people up. You cross that line, you go to jail. At least in my world, law and order. That's what I want. I don't see it. And you know, that brings us down to the grassroots level here. The Chinese call it the elbow thrashing level of reality. I learned that once from a Chinese philosopher, a poet, a martial artist. I don't know who. But he said, you know, many of us sitting at home can act in a dignified manner. Reading important books and reciting important statements. But he said, when we get down on the elbow-thrashing level of reality, meaning the busy sidewalk of New York, and you're walking on a crowded street, how do you behave? He said, that's the true test of the human being. Over here in Berkeley, we have a failed politician named Robert Fourth Reich. You know him. Robert Fourth Reich used to be the labor secretary for Bill Clinton. A miserable human being. A horrible loser of a human being. A schnook, a nebbish, a nobody, a schmendrick who couldn't even be a chiropractor. He couldn't even be a chiropodist, I should say. I know some great chiropractors. He couldn't even be a podiatrist for animals. So he became the next best thing, which was a college teacher. This miserable human being, Robert Reich, took a job at UC Berkeley. Collects a check, probably $150,000 a year or more, for doing nothing but spewing anti-American hatred. After the riots in Berkeley, do you know what this creep said? He went on television with his good friend Wolf Blitzer. I guess they got a secret handshake of some kind. And he had the nerve to say that he can't confirm it, but he heard that those who were breaking windows and burning things were not leftists, but they were actually put there by the right wing. They were Donald Trump supporters. Now you wonder why we call it fake news. Now you wonder why we hate the news. Now you wonder why we hate most sociology professors and professors outside of the sciences. Why there is such a growing revolution of disgust for these people. You understand why now? Because they're a threat to our survival, that's why. Any other questions? I got the answers. Darth Vader could not do more damage to this country than George Soros. And one of the things I had expected to happen would be an investigation of Soros and Son, within week one of the Trump administration. It doesn't puzzle me as to why he has not investigated him. I'm almost reluctant to tell you what I think is going on. Eh, but what the heck? Go ahead, walk away cocktail. You may as well hear what I think. Why hasn't the enemy of our way of life, who funds Black Lives Matter, he gave him $90 million last year, according to reports. He funds most of the radical groups in America, including the groups that almost burnt Sproul Hall to the ground last week in Berkeley. He is a villain, an absolute villain, in my estimation. George Soros, an agitator, a trillionaire agitator. You'd think that Trump would sick the Justice Department on him to investigate him, to find out who he's funded, what his connections are to foreign organizations, if any. But he hasn't. I'm sorry to tell you that there are ties between George Soros and some of the appointees from Goldman Sachs in the administration. This is what happens. This is what happens. There's nothing wrong with Goldman Sachs. I'm not knocking it. It's a great investment bank. I'm not in that camp that every time you say Goldman or Sachs, you have to like, oh, yeah, right. That's not where I'm coming from. It's the overlap of interests between the investment bank world and the investment banker George Soros that keeps him protected. And that's why I do not think we're going to get the social justice that we expect. Be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. The question of the day is, where are the great people? Yesterday I began my show by saying we are all confused. We're confused because Trump's plans and our plans are still being stalled by suicidal leftist fanatics in the media, in the courts, in the streets, who if not stopped will get many of us killed. I said that. It was a very popular show. Of course, several people in the media copied it, made believe it was their show, saying, are you dissatisfied with Trump's performance so far? That's not what I said. That's because it was transcribed improperly and read improperly by those who were trying to copy my act. I didn't say that. I said we were all confused because we want to know why Trump doesn't act even more forcefully in plain English. How would you like that? Want me to continue it? I frankly think he needs to get more agitated and react more strongly and do it quietly. Here's the problem with Trump. It's not that his policies are wrong. He put them in place without thinking them through. That's because, again, he's probably assigned them to individuals to enact them for him, as many, you know, organizers do, business people do. They what do you call it? They just give it over to someone else to do it for them. He gave it to the wrong people who didn't think it through. They didn't have all their ducks in a row. So things have gone awry. And, of course, the vermin in the media leapt on it as though it shows ineptitude. It doesn't show ineptitude. What it shows is the vermin of the left are more dangerous than they have ever been. It also shows that George Soros has not yet been sought out and tried for his alleged crimes against this nation. Notice I said alleged. To me, there are crimes. You put me on that commission. But you got to go a step further. I wrote about it in Scorched Earth. I have an entire chapter on it in Government Zero. I know this is controversial. I want a new UAC. I want a new House on American Activities Committee formed. I want it, and I want it now. And I want all the people who are ruining this nation tried for their crimes against this nation. You don't want the witch hunt? I'm so sorry for you because I've lived through one for the last 10 years. I've been a subject of the witch hunt. Oh, you didn't know that? All you leftists were conducting a witch hunt against Michael Savage and people like me? We are sick of it. We want you on the receiving end of the witch hunt. How's that? What goes around comes around. Karma is a you-know-what. It's time for you to be investigated if you are in the ACLU. Let us start with the head of the snake. Every director of the ACLU should be called before UAC and find out where their funding comes from. So look, I'm in a bizarro mood because I sense the nation's not interested in the news. Yeah, a little bit here, a little bit there. We're exhausted from a campaign that was endless. It was like the endless wars. The campaign exhausted us of our political interest.
The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Now, there's a lot of news that is unreported. There are 78 terrorist attacks that the White House says were largely underreported. That's right. Donald Trump, who's being roundly criticized for his so-called Muslim ban, actually knows of the 78 terrorist attacks that vermin in the media refuse to acknowledge. How is it that vermin in the media refuse to acknowledge any attacks by Islamofascists? How is it that vermin in the media, the lemmings in the media who will tear us all apart, drive us over the cliff and have us all in danger one way or the other, how is it that they ignore reality like this? I don't have an answer for the mental illness called liberalism, but we have a list of the 78 terrorist attacks. And strangely enough, I'm checking now, they were all Muslim. That's right, 78 terrorist attacks, domestic and overseas, starting September 2014 under Barry Obama, the surfer, the windsurfer. Look at that, all Muslims. Well, at least they seem. Musa Kulubali, Abel Del Hamad Al Hussein, Sid Ahmed Ram. I mean, it seems odd to me that this religion of peace would be so warlike. I don't quite understand it much. Topic 2, Vice President Mike Pence breaks Senate tie to confirm Betsy DeVos as U.S. Ed Secretary. Good for the Republicans. We won, they lost. Do what you want. Do what you want. Forget Nancy Pelosi. That, you know, I think, by the way, we should do a fundraiser, a GoFundMe for neurological treatment for Nancy Pelosi. For a long while, it was comic to play the cuckoo clock behind her. But she gave a speech and she confused President Trump with President Bush and went on speaking, didn't even know she had made a mistake. I think it's never too soon to treat neurological disorders, and I think we should start a GoFundMe site for Nancy Pelosi's neurological care. Now, of course, backing her up was the other genius, another Nobel Prize winner, Maxine Waters, who never met a lie that she didn't embrace. And she was talking about Russia, and she said that Putin is continuing his advance into Korea. You can't make this stuff up. It's impossible. There she was with, again, the perennially grieved face, surrounded by men from her district with the perennially grieved faces, attacking Donald Trump, and talking now about Maxine Waters. And at the end of her speech, she says that Donald Trump is wrapping his arms around Putin while Putin is continuing his advance into Korea. We'll have a little sound. Come on, look, if it wasn't for this, life would be boring. If we didn't have Maxine Waters and Nancy Pelosi to entertain us, who would we have left? We'd have that creature, Mad Cow. Mad Cow with the sneer. One day the sneer will be gone. One day God will take the sneer off whatever her name is, his face. What is her name? That mean face, clipped-haired one, Rachel Mad Cow. One day God will remove the madness from her face. Why the liberals sneer? Why is it that liberals, and by the way, the more psycho they are, the more sneery they are, where did the sneer come from? How does that compute? Don't answer. It's a rhetorical question for which I'm not even interested in the answer, incidentally. Here's a little defense news for those of you who want to know how we're going to defend ourselves. All of you neocon war hawks, chicken hawks who want war with Russia. Because of Barry's continuous golfing and burning up money, more than half of the Navy's planes can't fly. That's right. In addition to that, the ships don't run. Did you hear what I just said to you? I know that that's what you liberals wanted, was to cripple the military and give the money to abortion clinics. But half of the Navy's aircraft are grounded, and nearly two-thirds of the F-A-18 Hornet and Super Hornet strike fighters, because there's not enough money to perform maintenance on them. Can you believe what's going on? Where did the money go? Where'd the money go? Black Lives Matter, abortion clinics, social services, Meals on Wheels, you name it. How are we going to defend ourselves? And at the same time we can't defend ourselves, the neocons, The Chicken Hawks want war with Russia. Go figure that one out. Deadly Yemen raid missed its main al-Qaeda target. This is a very troubling story. The White House declared the operation a success, but U.S. military officials told Reuters that Trump approved the covert counterterrorism operation without sufficient intelligence, ground support, or adequate backup preps. I don't know whether to believe that, because it comes from, quote, military officials, most of whom are yellow-bellied slime, who don't belong in the military. They're all communists who are appointed by Obama. And then it's being reported by Reuters, which makes it extremely likely to be fake news. So let's take this story and put it where it belongs. Now remember the story that's going in the bin. Deadly Yemen raid missed its main al-Qaeda target. Again, reported by Reuters from so-called military officials. Garbage. Yemen SEAL raid missed target. Daily Beast, owned by a beast of a man. Here's another little story for all of you who don't know what's going on. In the United Kingdom, half of all new homes built by the government will go not to the poor Brits, but to immigrants. You heard me. Almost half of all new houses built in the UK over the next 5 years will go to immigrants, meaning an extra home will need to be constructed every 5 minutes by the government. The extra 5.3 million new properties are needed as the population of the UK continues to boom. 2.4 million houses will go to immigrants, the Department for Communities and Local Government claim. This is in Breitbart by Liam Deacon. It's a fabulous article. Building a new home every 5 minutes, night and day, for new arrivals until such time as we can get those numbers down. Now, what about America? Do you think that benefits are not going to these illegals that are pouring over the border? Do you think these benefits are not going to the Islamic people who were just flooded in as a result of the psycho judge overriding the will of the people? You're wrong. They're waiting for them with open arms. How many years have I told you that when my grandfather came here, he had to go through Ellis Island? Ellis Island, they tested the people for, they didn't exactly test them, but if they looked sick, they put them aside. If they had a really bad illness, they sent them home. We're talking only about health. Put them in quarantine. Remember little Vito Corleone in The Godfather? He had a disease, probably had pneumonia or something like that. I don't know what he might have had. But they wouldn't let an infected kid into America because they were stupid and they were evil white racists. That's why they wouldn't let infected people in, not because they wanted to protect the healthy population. No, no, you've got it all backwards if you think that. So we had a CDC, a Centers for Disease Control, under Barry Obama, that had become politicized by stooges, whose name I forgot. They fired him recently. He went on probably teaching at Berkeley somewhere. And the other one at the NIH, Fauci, two geniuses who've been there forever. And Barry had politicized them, letting in infected people. Didn't matter what the disease was. Welcome one, welcome all. Putting you at risk, putting your children at risk. Putting them into communities around America against their will. I tried to write a book called Immigrants and Epidemics way back when. My co-author was the dean of one of the most important schools of public health in the United States of America. Great man in his field. We were going to co-author the book together. He figured I was a pretty well-known author. By the time I went to grad school, I had 7 books published by then. He was a well-known public health medical doctor, MPH. We were going to do the book together. I did a great proposal. Every New York publisher turned it down. Not because it was false, but because they were afraid of publishing it. Well, I've since gone on to bigger things. I mean, I used logic and scientific inquiry to get me where I am today. And the fact of the matter is, I'm still here. Because if I made these things up, I wouldn't still be here. I don't care whether you're a liberal or a progressive. I got to tell you something that I learned a long time ago that even children know. Maybe you don't know it because you're probably dumber than most children. Your mother told you to wash your hands and you didn't wash your hands when you were a kid probably, right? You were smarter than her. Microbes do not discriminate. They don't know if you're a good progressive who breaks windows and burns things down, microbes. They don't know if you're a radical, conservative, a Nazi, right-winger. Microbes do not discriminate. One of my greatest lines of all time. It's as good as Borders, Language, and Culture. Microbes do not discriminate. In a sane nation, that would bring us all together. all of us political, different political factions would all be unified around one theme of self-preservation. But because we have a nation filled with half-educated morons who are suicidal to top it all off, look at their lifestyles, they're liable to bring us all down. That's why Trump was attracted so much attention. I want to play for you now the setup interview by the leprechaun O'Reilly, which has greatly embarrassed the president. I try to warn them, stick with your friends. Don't go on all these shows that are going to set you up. What did O'Reilly do for you during the campaign? Nothing. Who is advising him? Sean Spicer of the Republican National Committee, who I think would like to undermine the president, by the way, as would the entire RNC. And I write about it as one of the great groups to watch out for in Trump's war. The rhinos are trying to undermine Donald Trump. So they say, stay away from talk radio. They're too radical. You don't need them anymore. You use them. So they put him on the O'Reilly show. Listen what happened. It's a disaster for the president. Clip three.
Do you respect Putin?
I do respect him.
Do you? But why?
Well, I respect a lot of people, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get along with him. He's a leader of his country. I say it's better to get along with Russia than not. And if Russia helps us in the fight against ISIS, which is a major fight, and Islamic terrorism all over the world,
right?
Major fight, that's a good thing. Will I get along with him? I have no idea.
He's a killer, though. Putin's a killer.
A lot of killers. We got a lot of killers. Why, you think our country's so innocent?
Bingo, that's it now. So he tricked them into making a statement and now puts him in the same league as Bernie Sanders and communist professors. I want to ask you something. What if Barry Obama had said there's a lot of killers? What do you think our country is so innocent? I want to know what the right wing would have said. No, I'm just asking a question. That's my job as a commentator. Do you think I'm supposed to sit here with, as a cheerleader? And say that everything Trump's done is right. I pity Trump for this. He was set up by Sean Spicer or by the barfly who set up the O'Reilly interview in order to feather their own nests. Never forget one principle. And the most important principle to remember, I don't care whether it's within an administration or anywhere else, everyone is out for themselves. So everyone working for Trump is thinking long term and middle term of what they're going to do tomorrow. When they lose the job or when they move on, what do you think they want? Where do you think Barfly sees herself? Megyn Kelly, $20 million a year. That was Barfly's wildest dream. That was the outfits, the hair. Someone to work on her nails next, but we'll put that aside. Sean Spicer, a nobody. Where they get him from? He worked for what, Dan Quayle? He worked for unknown people in the RNC? Now all of a sudden he is the front man for Donald Trump, and he puts him on this show as the press secretary. Who do you think picks these shows? Certainly not the people who picked the shows that got him elected. You're right. You understand what I'm saying to you? This is a disaster for Donald Trump. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Okay, welcome to the... They can't read my mind. I have no idea what music I want to hear. I don't think there's any music on earth I want to hear right now. I want to hear greatness. I want to hear leadership. I want to hear a speech that moves me. I want to be able to react to a speech that gets me to want to go in the streets and listen to it. There's no greatness. There's nothing. You know, that's what I'm saying. So I was talking about the Cultural Revolution, America's cultural decline. And I got to a certain point, and I stopped. I didn't get to where I really want to go, which I'm not going to get. It'll be like reading to you, and you're not interested, which is communist China and what happened when the Red Guards took over under Mao Zedong and the tyranny of the Red Guards and what they did to the middle class, how they denounced and tormented middle-class people and stole the homes from the middle class. And that's what happens when communists gain power. Now, what you don't know, I'm sure many of you do, is that these street thugs in the streets, whether they be nice college girls from NYU and Columbia marching against Donald Trump, are the useful idiots of the communist revolution that's going on around the world and in this nation. You see signs such as no borders, no nation, F deportation. These are hardcore Islamists and communists and anarchists who are out to destroy the middle class in this country, to repeat the cultural revolution of Mao Zedong, and the madness of Mao Zedong will follow. I'm telling you about this because I see what's coming unless we are stopped and unless we use our constitutional protections, unless we use our military and our police to protect us from these communist hordes. And I don't care how sweet they may look. I really don't care how nice they may look. They can scream, they can yell, that's legal. They start breaking windows and they start attacking police. I want them arrested. I do not want anarchy in my streets. I want law and order. We had a man in the White House who shred the Constitution one page at a time in every way he could. He and a psychotic band of gangsters did everything they could to undermine every amendment to the Constitution. Attorney General Loretta Lynch, if you remember, replaced gunrunner Eric Holder. Remember when Lynch threatened to take away and imprison those of us who engage in any kind of speech that she deemed was edging towards violence regarding Muslims? Do you remember her? You don't remember that, do you? Remember she was looking for ways to prosecute and jail climate change skeptics? Well, her friends control the universities, who are now imposing speech codes, where every boy is a potential rapist and every girl is a victim. Social justice has replaced actual justice. Just remember the Duke lacrosse team. Funded by that criminal agitator George Soros of MoveOn.org, Obama and Hillary were grooming the next group of Marxist social justice warriors. They are Black Lives Matter, Code Pink, Occupy Wall Street, and every other violent leftist group. And they're all a direct consequence of Gramsci's model being applied to the most vulnerable among us, our children. And while our indoctrinated young leftist radicals are tearing America down in the streets, our Islamist enemies are building their armies up. Our kids are curled up in the fetal position, in their safe spaces, hiding from climate change monsters. If they are the last line of defense, the Islamists should soon be able to take control of America the way they did Europe. We will all be part of the caliphate soon enough. And interestingly enough, those words, while being true, are being laughed at by leftist fools in the media who do not know what's going on outside their newsrooms. Yes, indeedy. Now, what do we have on the other side? We have mentally deranged Democrats. Nancy Pelosi says there's nothing that she can work on with President Bush. No one even said to her, excuse me, Mrs. Pelosi, Bush is no longer president. Is McCain right? Was the Yemen raid a botched mission?
Okay, that's another one.
Here's this answer from a friend of mine who is a former airborne ranger and a combat veteran, highly decorated. He's my hero. I asked him because I don't have an answer. I mean, we did lose an $85 million Osprey helicopter. One SEAL died. I don't care about the poor innocents who were killed. They weren't innocent. The women all had machine guns behind sandbags. Okay, woman. What, a woman with a gun is suddenly a good woman? A terrorist with a gun is a woman? She's not a woman. She's a rat that should be annihilated. They should have dropped a bunker buster and killed everyone in there. I don't know what this pinpoint raid business is. If we had had the rules of engagement we have today, Hitler would still be alive. They didn't use pinpoint bombs on Berlin. They killed everything that moved. They didn't know if they were good, bad, young, or old. Crippled or healthy. They wanted to get the war over with. And it's time we got this war over with. Kill them all! Bunker bust them! Saturate them with bombs! Get rid of the rats! That's not what my friend said. That's what I said. He's more circumspect than I. As I say, a combat veteran, airborne ranger. And he said this. First of all, Michael, he said morale in the military has taken a definite upswing in the last few weeks. Meaning since Barry the Rat is gone. Since Barry the Ferret has left, everyone in the military feels better, except the fake admirals and the fake generals and the fake officers that were put in. You know, the ones who never shot a gun, who was made the head of a whole brigade? Anyway, he said, yeah, well, he says, as for the Yemen raid, what my sources are telling me is it was a direct departure from Obama's patty cake policy of sending drones and small pinpoint actions. Yemen is hugely unstable and is the center of activity, which is the arm that carries out attacks against America and its allies worldwide. The maxim that the best operation plans go out the window at first contact applies here. In that, the Osprey carrying the assault team made a bad landing, and there were a bunch of female jihadis encountered, which somehow affected the operation. I'm not certain how. A SEAL was killed. Unfortunate, but this stuff happens. People, no matter how professional, get killed in these kinds of actions. As for the female jihadis, they should have been shot down as soon as they were recognized as a threat. If they're armed, F them. And sorry, Charlie, maybe they were using civilians as shields, he writes. That's a typical Muslim trick. If so, I could understand some hesitation. I don't know the details. Was it a failure? My understanding is that they didn't get the high-value target they were after. That also happens. Remember, Michael, the British launched a commando raid in North Africa to get Rommel in World War II. He had departed the day before. Several good men, including the commando leader, were killed. What did evidently come away with in this raid in Yemen was a lot of electronic data on laptops, phones, on AQAP planning, order of battle, identities, and other stuff which should be evaluated in future operational planning. I do know we have forensic software that can almost magically reach into the guts of captured laptops, thumb drives, phones, etc., and create relational strings that show who, where, and when the person who owned those things was communicating with. He continues in one more paragraph. Sometimes intelligence information is so valuable, it does lead to getting the HVT, the high target. He said, recall our magic intercept in World War II of a Japanese message to units in the Southwest Pacific, notifying them that the commander-in-chief would be making a morale tour of forward air bases. That resulted in FDR and Nimitz authorizing a gamble, which paid off in intercepting and killing Yamamoto. That's a great raid, the whole story unto itself. Michael, tell your audience, in wartime, you have to weigh a lot of things. We're at war, and this administration isn't sitting back and accepting Americans being killed, as Obama did, while he went around apologizing for America. Well, here's another topic that I want to get to. Someone sent me this. I Am the People, the Mob by Carl Sandburg, written in 1916. You ready for this one? I am the people, the mob, the crowd, the mass. Do you know that all the great work of the world is done through me? I am the working man, the inventor, the maker of the world's food and clothes. I am the audience that witnesses history. The Napoleons come from me, and the Lincolns, they die. And then I send forth more Napoleons and Lincolns. I am the seed ground. I am a prairie that will stand for much plowing. Terrible storms pass over me. I forget. The best of me is sucked out and wasted. I forget. Everything but death comes to me and makes me work and give up what I have. And I forget. Sometimes I growl, shake myself, and spatter a few red drops for history to remember. Then I forget. When I, the people, learn to remember, when I, the people, use the lessons of yesterday and no longer forget who robbed me last year, who played me for a fool, then there will be no speaker in all the world say the name the people with any fleck of a sneer in his voice or any far-off smile of derision. The mob, the crowd, the mass will arrive then. Well, we arrived in 2016, and I am their voice. I have been so for many years, and every day I wake up and I feel very much like this poem. And the fact of the matter is, we cannot give up now. The battle is only just beginning. The sneering vermin in the media must be put in their place. The hypocritical, rotten, stinking judges must be called out, because the stench from the bench is making us all clench. The imperiousness of those filth in black robes. Who are they? Some of them are great men. Some of them are mediocre men. Some of them are terrible men. I should add women as well. I've encountered wonderful judges who were liberals, by the way. I've encountered louts who were conservatives, by the way, in my dealings. You know that? I can give you examples of people appointed by Obama who I thought would have shafted me in a federal court. They didn't. They followed the law. They're the good judges. But what about the activist judges who think that they're God Almighty? What do we do with them? We say it like it is. That's what we do. I want you to understand what I'm saying to you. Think like your enemy thinks. Think like your enemy thinks. The country is so divided right now. We certainly have to understand there is another America. We may disagree with them totally. We realize they've ruined the country, but they exist. And if they exist, you have to start to see a little bit how they see things. Now, let's reverse it. See the world through their eyes. As bad as Obama was, he was advised very carefully by Axelrod and other professionals who knew imaging, the medium is the message. They read that book in the 60s by Marshall McLuhan. The medium is the message. And certainly the message is the medium. So if the message is sending a line, I own some of it, I'm going to give it a free commercial here. What if somebody working for Obama had said a thing like that? I want to know what the right wing or even the conservative media would have done. You have to understand something. I am a commentator. I am not an apparatchik of the Republican Party. I do not work for Donald Trump. I don't want anything from Donald Trump. I'd love to be recognized for what I've done by him. I doubt it will ever happen. I'd love for him to try to get my name off the list of people being banned from England. I doubt very much that it'll bother to even do that for me. But it doesn't matter. Because every day that I wake up and I see these little things going on that disturb me, it's nothing compared to what would be going on if she had won. Can you imagine if you were waking up every day and Hillary Clinton had won? Can you imagine what world you would be living in? Can you imagine her executive orders? So you want to think how the enemy thinks? You don't give your enemies any ammunition. And that's why I think it's time for Kellyanne Conway, because I know she's the biggest genius the world has ever seen, probably Nobel Prize level in terms of political strategy. I mean, think about it. If she came along 2 months before the election and she got him elected, after all, she did it on her own, she must be the smartest woman in the history of politics. But she should be behind the scenes. Here's a good story. California Republicans asked Trump administration to block bullet train funding. Now that's a good story. That is a good story. As you well know, it's a boondoggle of the worst kind. This is one of the greatest scams in all of history. This beats the big dig in Boston. What Jerry Brown has done here beats the big dig in Boston. You talk about a boondoggle for union workers and for corrupt unions and contractors. California's House Republicans have asked the Trump administration to block a pending federal grant that will ultimately support the state's high-speed rail project until an order to the project's finances are completed. Bulletin, the letter signed by all 14 members of the state's GOP delegation includes House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy, was sent to Transportation Secretary Ellen Chao. It cites cost increases and its failure to attract private financing. Dated 24th of January, the letter asked Chao to stop approval of a $650 million grant that the Transportation Department could make to the Bay Area's Caltrain Commuter Rail Agency as early as next week. Stall it. Stop the fake bullet train. Stop the fake bullet train. It's the nation's largest infrastructure project, largely unknown outside of the corrupt Central Valley. And my friends, it was done by who? California Demon Cats. And who's giving the support for it? None other than Nancy Cuckoo Clock Pelosi. Why? Oh, now there's a story for those of you geniuses on the San Francisco Chronicle, toot toot. If you'd only stop tooting and start reporting, maybe somebody would buy your rag. Now, why would Nancy Pelosi want to support a boondoggle that has cost billions of dollars and have produced nothing? The nation's largest infrastructure project? Hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars gone up in smoke? And the people at the Chronicle, toot toot toot? My friends, cut off the federal money. This is Jerry Brown's signature project, even though the state is bankrupt. The original cost of Jerry Brown's bullet head was estimated to be $33 billion for a system that would carry virtually no passengers from San Diego to Sacramento. Originally estimated by the corrupt Democrats to be $33 billion. Pay attention. Since then, the cost has risen to $64 billion. Are you listening to what I said to you? Why should this even be built? It has destroyed croplands. And by the way, where are all the Greens on this? Where are all of the Green maniacs who are so concerned about the loss of arable land and global warming when it's farmland that's been destroyed by this project? Answer, nowhere to be found. Now here's a blockbuster of a story. Soros Fund executives had funded, in other words, George Soros money was funneled through his executives to the Republicans, Paul Ryan, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, John McCain, John Kasich, and Lindsey Graham in 2016. This is a huge story. These are the anti-Trumpers. These are the never-Trumpers. Employees of a hedge fund founded by the king of the institutional left, billionaire and Democratic Party mega-donor psychotic George Soros. Can he sue me for calling him psychotic? I hope he doesn't. How would you describe a Hungarian refugee who fled Hitler's concentration camps, comes to America, and then sets out to destroy it, other than psychosis? Would you describe it any other way? Would you call it other than psychosis? Okay, but this guy, through his employees, sent money to the slime bags, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush, John McCain, John Kasich, Lindsey Graham, and Paul Ryan. The biggest recipient of Soros-connected cash in the GOP was none other than House Speaker Paul Pretty Boy Ryan, who repeatedly attempted to undermine Trump over the course of the election. And by the way, it's chicken feed. It's chump change. These guys are cheap. They're cheap. 10 grand, 6 grand, 8 grand. I mean, these guys are cheap. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So we're talking about the news. Okay, let's be clear here. When Hillary Clinton used her influence as Secretary of State to pad the Clinton Foundation, it was much worse, right? But Hillary was a smarter woman. She did it quietly. She didn't come out there and say she was padding the Clinton Foundation. But this one comes out and says, it's a wonderful line. I own some of it. I'm going to give it a free commercial here. Go buy it today, everybody. You can find it online. My friends, that's a commercial. It's an embarrassment. It's time to understand the president is fighting for our agenda. And the country is as divided today as it's ever been in my life. And the last thing we need is someone to weaken his messaging. Period. I said it last week. I'll say it again. Why couldn't he have hired someone classy like Laura Ingraham? I just want you to understand this is not misogyny. If you think I'm picking on her because she's a blonde, I'm not. Get someone classy to go out there. Someone with a higher degree, who speaks other languages, someone who presents a flair for language and does it with class. No, what do you need this for? Why do you want to weaken yourself by surrounding yourself with, okay, I think I made my point, no more. But she did it again. Just when I thought she was in the background, she comes up in the foreground again. She's a wonderful woman, a great mother, I get all of that. But we have a revolution here that we are trying to enact under Donald Trump. She is weakening his messaging, in my opinion. She's making an embarrassment of him, of herself for sure, because she has no shame whatsoever. She is like a little girl at a wedding who you can't stop to dance. The band went home, the bartender shut down the bar, and she's still on the floor dancing. Every time I turn on the television and there's a meeting, an inauguration, a funeral, there she is zipping by with the hair flying. It's enough already. Okay, now let's move on. Bill Kristol, who says lazy white working class Americans should be replaced by immigrants. I've always had an eerie feeling about him. It's not that he's an evil guy. He's not in the evil category. He's a schmendrick. He's the type of guy, if the father didn't get him started, he'd be running a clothing store in Jackson Heights that went out of business in 1971. And I don't know what would have been after that. If his father had owned, let's say, a clothing store somewhere under the L. Let's say, okay, you don't know what I'm talking about. Listen to Bill Kristol, who runs a magazine called the Meekly Standard, clips 1 and 2 together.
Look, to be totally honest, if things are so bad, as you say, with the white working class, don't you want to get new Americans in who aren't going to be... I'm serious. You can make a case that this is going on too long and this is too crazy, probably, and I hope this thing isn't being, like, you know, videotaped or ever shown anywhere. Whatever tiny, pathetic future I have is going to be totally collapsed. You can make a case that America has been great because every I think John Adams said this at the beginning, right? Basically, if you're in a free society, a capitalist thriving society, after 2, 3, 4 generations of hard work, everyone becomes kind of decadent, lazy, spoiled, whatever. And then luckily, you have these waves of people coming in from Italy and Ireland and Russia and now Mexico who really want to work hard and really want to succeed.
Stop right there because there's much more. Of course, Bill, we are not talking about people coming from Mexico. We are talking about people coming from Somalia, the land of terrorism. You schmuck, you.